Not long ago. Go and have some more, and then find me the murderer. Quickly. Good day to you. Not just thrones trembling, Vimes managed to think. Your chair is wobbling a bit, too. Pretty soon some people will be saying, who let all these dwarfs in here? They undermine our city, and they don't obey our laws. And the trolls? We used to chain them up like guard dogs, and now they're allowed to walk around threatening real people. They'd be gathering now, the plotters, the people who chatted quietly in the corner at parties, the people who know how to fashion opinions into knives. Last night's little fray had been turned into a joke that had probably dismayed the party people, but you couldn't do it twice. Once things began to spread, once a few humans had been killed, you wouldn't need to talk behind closed doors anymore. The mob would scream on your behalf. They undermine our city, and they don't obey our laws. He climbed into the coach on legs that were only marginally under his control, muttered an instruction to head for Pseudopolis Yard, and fell asleep. It was still night time in the city of endless rain. It was never not night time. No sun rose here. The creature lay coiled in its alley. Something was seriously wrong. It had expected resistance. There was always resistance, and it always overcame it. But even now, when the invisible bustle of the city had slowed, there was no way in. Time and again it'd be sure it had found a point of control, some tide of rage it could use, and time and again it'd be slammed back here into this dark alley where the gutters overflowed. This was not the usual kind of mind. The creature struggled. But no mind had ever beaten it yet. There was always a way. Through the ruin of the world, the troll staggers. Brick lurched out of Dolly Sister's watch house, clutching his head with one hand and, in the other, holding the bag that contained as many of his teeth as Detritus had been able to find. The sergeant had been very decent about that, Brick thought. Few, after all, and besides, she always kept a spare uniform in her locker. What was annoying was that Sally walked so easily in 6-inch heels. That was vampires for you. She had taken hers off and was carrying them. It was that or turn an ankle. The Pink Pussycat Club had a fairly limited choice of footwear. There wasn't much to choose from in the way of clothing either, if by clothing you meant something that actually made an attempt to cover anything. Angua had been rather surprised that the stage wardrobe had included a female watch outfit, but with skimpy papier-mâché armour and a skirt that was much too short to be any protection. Tawny had explained, rather carefully, that men sometimes like to see a pretty girl in armour. To Angua, who'd found that men she was apprehending never looked very pleased to see her, this was food for thought. She'd settled for a sequined gold dress, which just didn't work. Sally had picked something simple and cut the thigh in blue, which of course had become stunning the moment she'd put it on. She looked fabulous. So when Angua strode into the main office, slamming the big doors back, and there was a derisory wolf whistle, the unwise watchman found himself being pushed backwards until he was slammed against the wall. He felt two sharp points pressed against his neck as Angua growled, "You want a wolf, do you? Say no, Sergeant Angua." "No, Sergeant Angua, you don't. I was probably mistaken then, was I?" The points pressed a little harder. In the man's mind, steely talons were about to pierce his jugular. "Couldn't say for sure, Sergeant Angua. My nerves are a tad stretched right now," Angua howled. "Hadn't noticed, Sergeant Angua. We're all a little bit on edge at the moment, wouldn't you say?" "That's ever so true, Sergeant Angua." Angua let the man's boot reach the ground. She put two black, shiny, and noticeably pointed heels into his unresisting hands. "Could you do me a really big favour, please, and take these back up to the Pink Pussycat Club?" she said sweetly. "They belong to someone called Cherylee, I think. Thank you." She turned and looked over to the duty desk, where Carrot was watching her with his mouth open. Well aware of the stir she was causing, she walked up to the desk past an audience of shocked faces and threw a muddy necklace down onto the open incident book. 4 dwarfs, murdered by other dwarfs, down in the long dark," she said. "I'll bet my nose on it. That belonged to one of them. He'd also written this." A muddy envelope was dropped by the necklace. "It's pretty slimy, but you can read it. Mr. Vimes is going to go postal. She looked up into the blue eyes of Carrot. Where is he? Sleeping on a mattress in his office, said Carrot, and shrugged. Lady Sybil knew we wouldn't go home, so she got Willikins to make up a bed down here. Are you two all right?
Fine, sir, said Sally.
I was getting very worried, Carrot began.
4 dead dwarfs, Captain, said Angua. City dwarfs. That's what you should be worrying about. 3 half-buried, this one crawled away.
Carrot picked up the necklace and read the runes.
Lars Legstrong, he said. I think I know the family. Are you sure he was murdered?
Throat cut. It'd be hard to call it suicide. But he took some time to die. He made it to one of their damned doors, which they'd locked shut, and scrawled one of their signs on it in his own blood. Then he sat down and waited to die in the dark. In the damn dark, Carrot. They were working dwarfs. They had shovels and wheelbarrows. They were down there doing a job, and when they weren't needed any more, they got the chop. Hacked down and left for the mud. He might even still have been alive down in the mud when Mr. Vimes and I went in. Behind their bloody thick door, dying by inches. And do you know what this means? She pulled a folded piece of card out of her bodice and passed it over.
A drinks menu? Said Carrot.
Open it, snapped Angua. I'm sorry it's written in lipstick. It was all we could find. Carrot flipped it open.
Another dark symbol, he said. I don't think I know this one.
There were other dwarf officers in the office. Carrot held up the symbol.
Does anyone here know what this means?
A few helmeted heads shook, and a few dwarfs backed away. But a deep voice from the doorway said,
Yeah, Captain Carrot, I suspect I do. Does it look like an eye with a tail?
Yes,
sir,
said Carrot, staring. A shadow moved.
It was drawn in the dark by a dying dwarf in his own blood. It is the summoning dark, Captain, and it will be moving. Good morning to you. I am Mr. Shine.
Carrot's jaw dropped as the watchman turned to look at the newcomer. He loomed in the doorway, almost as broad as he was tall, in a cloak and hood that hid any possible feature.
"The Mr. Shine?" he said.
"Regrettably so, Captain. And can I charge you to see that no one in this room leaves for a few minutes after I do? I like to keep my movements private."
"I didn't think you were real, sir."
"Believe me, young man, I wish it were possible to keep you in that happy state," said the hooded figure. "However, my hand is forced."
Mr. Shine stepped forward, pulling a rangy figure into the room. It was a troll, whose look of sullen defiance did not quite manage to conceal knee-knocking terror.
"This is Brick, Captain. I deliver him back into the personal custody of your Sergeant Detritus. He has information of use to you. I have heard his story. I believe him. You must move fast. The summoning dark may already have found a champion. What else? Oh, yeah. Be sure not to keep that symbol in a dark place. Keep light around it at all times. And now, if you will excuse the theatricals..."
The black robe twitched. Hard, white, blinding light filled the room for a second. When it had gone, so had Mr. Shine. All that was left was a large, round stone on the stained floor. Carrot blinked, and then pulled himself together.
"All right, you heard,"
he said to the suddenly animated room at large. "Had that stuff what hardcore, jacked off a one-eyed goddamn. Whee, yeah. Who knows where that has been? All them dancing teeth. So this was his, hey, wait. Remember that time you got lunched on scrape and your arms flew away? Okay, that was bad. So maybe this was his... Now, wait, of course, can't be forgetting the day when you got baked on sliver and blew powdered zinc up your nose and thought you'd thrown up your feet. And then it come that time again when you'd... Brick had got as far as his 19th worst nightmare before Carrot's voice cut through the snakes.
"Mr. Brick?"
"Is that still me?" said Brick nervously.
He could really, really do some slab right now.
"Generally, your advocate is one person," said Carrot. "We're going to have to ask you some difficult questions. You're allowed to have someone to help you. Perhaps you have a friend we could fetch?"
Brick pondered this. The only people he could think of in this context were Totally Slag and Big Marble, although, more correctly, they fell into the category of people that don't throw things at me much and let me glom a bit of slab sometimes. Right now these did not seem ideal qualifications. He pointed to Sergeant Detritus.
"Him," he said. "He helped me find my teeth."
"I'm not sure a serving officer is—"
Carrot began.
"I'll volunteer for the role, Captain," said a little voice.
Carrot peered over the edge of the desk.
"Mr. Pessimal, I don't think you should be out of bed."
I'm in fact acting Lance Constable, Captain," said A.E. Pessimal politely yet firmly. He was on crutches.
"Right," said Carrot. "Oh, well, I still think you shouldn't be out of bed. Nevertheless, justice must be served," said A.E. Pessimal.
Brick bent down and peered closely at the inspector.
"It's that gnome from last night," he said. "Don't want him."
"You can't think of anyone," said Carrot.
Brick thought again and at last brightened up.
"Yeah, I can," he said. "Easy. Someone to help me answer the questions, right?"
"That's right."
"Well, easy peas. If you can fetch that dwarf I saw down in that new dwarf mine last night, he'd help me."
The room went deadly quiet.
"And why would he do that?" said Carrot carefully.
"He could tell you why he was hitting the other dwarf on her head," said Brick. "I mean, I don't know. But I expect he won't want to come on account of me being a troll, so I'll stick with the sergeant if it all the same to you."
"I think this is going too far, Captain," said A.E. Pessimal.
In the silence that followed this, Carrot's voice sounded very loud.
"I think this, Mr. Pessimal, is the point where we wake up Commander Vimes." This audio.